This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
A global solar power deal potentially worth a fortune. There's news India and France have joined forces to raise $1 trillion to develop solar power around the world. The announcement came at the big climate summit now underway in Paris. The BBC's Karen Hagen is following this for us.
The International Solar Alliance hopes to persuade more than 120 countries to sign up to develop solar power around the world. Key targets for membership are developing nations in the tropics, with a lot of sun but little money. However, the US and China are expected to join, along with some European countries, including France. In announcing the scheme, French President François Hollande said that those countries with the most sun represented only a small part of the global production of solar power. The idea of the new initiative is to reduce energy inequality by developing technology and by raising the necessary finance. The plan is to have $1 trillion worth of investment in affordable solar energy by the year 2030.
Karen Hoggins with the BBC. At a time when international banking authorities are pushing for bigger emergency cushions for banks to reduce the need for future government bailouts, the United Kingdom is going the other way. There's news today the big regulator there, the Bank of England, is tapering off capital rules for banks, saying the cushions are now just about right. Car and truck sales are due as the morning develops. Analysts are expecting the highest grossing November for new vehicle sales ever. Cheap gasoline, low interest rates, and for some manufacturers, a legal form of bribery known as cashback incentives are at work. Marketplace's Andy Euler has more on that.
Historically, December was the time to buy a new car. Nowadays, more automakers are getting into the Black Friday promotions game. They're trying to get you to pull the trigger on that big purchase earlier. Tim Fleming is an analyst for Kelley Blue Book.
Manufacturers producing to demand, but when sales are so hot right now, you're seeing everyone start to spend a little more to try and get in while consumers are feeling good about the economy.
They're feeling good partly because unemployment is hovering around 5% and interest rates are still low. Depending on what the Fed decides to do next month, that's one factor that could change. Michelle Krebs is a senior analyst at AutoTrader. She doesn't think a rate hike will affect car sales that much.
It's such a small impact on monthly payment, and that is what people look at. People focus on the monthly payment.
Krebs says a rise in interest rates might entice automakers to offer even more incentives, as they hope to keep buyers coming back while the market is hot. I'm Andy Euler for Marketplace.
Veteran journalist Ted Koppel thinks the United States is not worried enough about cyber attacks. He is not alone in his fear. To get us, the public policymakers industry, to focus, he's written a book that looks at the potential for hacking-induced mayhem by exploring what might happen to America's electric power grid. The new book's called Lights Out. We think of a blackout being a couple of days, but what if it were weeks or months after a strategically placed computer hack? I know, why do we even have to talk about this aloud? But Mr. Koppel, for good reasons, insists, and he joined us from WBEZ in Chicago. Good morning, Ted.
Good morning.
So one way we might lose is if hackers, terrorists, or some nation-state aggressors knock out the electricity?
Well, they might not knock out the entire grid, but even if they knock out part of a grid, we only have three grids in this country, David. And the problem is we're looking at the prospect of tens of millions of people without electric power for a period of weeks or even months.
There is something about the way that our electric power system in America evolved that makes us especially vulnerable. And part of it is that it's private and then there's competition in the system.
It's been deregulated so that what you now have are 3,200 companies. The big ones have the best possible cyber protection that money can buy. The little ones don't. But when you have a network, the weakest part of the network is the most vulnerable, and you can get into the strongest part by going through the weak ones.
I was more than a little surprised to read that the federal government cannot order the local power company who connects your house to the grid to do something.
The federal government only has power over that stage where electricity is being sent over vast distances. In other words, it has no control over the generation of power. It has no control over the delivery of power. It only has control over that middle section. And even there, FERC, the federal agency that can propose legislation to the industry, if 60% of the industry says, we don't like that legislation, they don't have to accept it.
Now, you devote considerable space in the book to how well prepared the LDS church is in planning for disaster. You think we can learn from the Mormons here?
The Mormons are organized from the ground up. Most Mormon families have a 3 to 6 month supply of food. The kinds of warehouses that the Mormons have would put Costco and Walmart to shame.
It's not just the Mormons. There is this movement. It's called the Transition Town Movement. It's about thinking about ways that if disaster strikes, how locally you could gird yourself for the worst.
It's a wonderful concept. This business of creating affinity groups is a terrific idea. Microgrids, a terrific idea. One of the things I'm trying to do, David, is get people in a presidential election year to focus on the fact that we need to be thinking about this so that our candidates are forced to confront it and come up with proposals.
Ted, thank you. Ted Koppel worked for more than 40 years at ABC News. His book is called Lights Out, A Cyber Attack, A Nation Unprepared, Surviving the Aftermath. Our resilient producers are Justin Ho, Katie Long, and Beatty Jong. From studios at Montclair State University today, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.